that your heart rejoices in the praises of your people, that we have created for you a dwelling place in those praises. That, Lord, as we've blessed your name in this place, as we've thanked you, as we've glorified you, as we've worshipped you for all that you are, all that you've done, and the ongoing greatness of your goodness and faithfulness, Lord, we declare in this place. Father, we thank you for your hand that is not shortened, that it cannot heal, save, or deliver. And that, Lord God, your life has been poured out in each one of us through the intense work of Calvary, that you've provided for us the bread of life and the blood of cleansing and refreshing and protection. We worship you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well done, kids. I think you're going upstairs with Lek, but praise God for his goodness today. Amen. You know, there's a couple of songs there that, one was that one, I am blessed, I am healed, I am whole, I am delivered, I'm anointed, I'm empowered, or whatever, all the things that it said. And then a previous song was, I'm set apart, only to lift my voice. And they're things that are promoting activity, promoting life. And I thought of, you know, we've been made vessels, and we've been told we have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God, not of us. And I was thinking of a message that Paul Scanlon preached a little while ago, where he said, you know, he grew up in a home where his dad was often drunk and disorderly, and they were quite really poor, several kids. And he said, we had a sideboard display cabinet that had all the good crockery in it. It had all the good cutlery in the drawer. It had all of the showpiece table settings that you could have in a family home. It was like an heirloom factor for them. They used the everyday cutlery and crockery all the time, but this one was the pristine stuff. He said, all of my life in that home, not once did I ever see any of those implements used. We never had visitors. Our home wasn't really friendly to visitors. We were not a family that were very interactive with others, and they were dysfunctional in a lot of ways. And so it made that case of display case of vessels futile and not useful. And I think that really can be a lesson to us in a lot of ways. We've been going over a few things lately, and in Colossians 1, 9 to 14, our key verse that we started off with a little while ago about being fruitful came up. I don't know whether you got it there, Mash. But especially in verse 10, after Paul said that he prayed for them and give thanks to them, that they would be filled with the will with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So we're not vessels in a showcase, regardless of how good God has made us to be. And also says that we would be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. In every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I think that is amazing, that good, increasing in fruitfulness increases our knowledge of God. Did you understand that? Did you pick that up? Because it's God's opportunity to show himself on our behalf, to work in, through, with us, and for us. Amen? And I love that. Going on a little further, I won't go through the rest of that scripture. You can read it yourselves in Colossians 1, 9 to 14. But it really shows our key text, that we would be fruitful in every good work. But I want to put it in context in a couple of scriptures that God brought to my attention as I've been going through this and looking at it. One is Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, in the whole chapter, and I don't know if we can get that up there and bring it into some sort of context where we can scan through it quickly. But Ephesians 5 gives us a whole realm of putting fruitfulness into context. Have we got it up there, Mash, or not? No. I want everyone to follow it through if we can. All right, we're going to go through it quickly. Be imitators of God, as dear children. Imitators of God. Jesus said, the things I do, you will do. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. And then it goes on and talks about acts of sin that he didn't want known amongst the church. And he brought it to a highlight there. So firstly and foremostly, the first thing he says is that we need to be imitators of God, walk in love. Remember the scripture that I talked about a little while ago. There are three things that remain: faith and hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is actually the catalyst that covers and produces the life of God, that protects and does so much. It embraces, it enhances, and it motivates. Love was good. But to beware of what acts of darkness are around us, not to have any participation in them, not to embrace them in any way, shape, or form, but know that they are there and going on. If you can move on through the next few verses, Nash, there's uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Continue on. For this you know, that none of these people in that area has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. So let no one deceive you with empty words because of these things, saying, oh, you can get away with this or do that or whatever have you. For the wrath of God becomes upon the sons of disobedience. So do not be partakers with them. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Continue on. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have a look at the context of fruitfulness there. It's actually really covering the fact that the things that are going on around us are unfruitful works of darkness and have nothing to do with them. And to be aware of it is one thing. Participating is a no-no because they're unfruitful. But the fruit of the Spirit, it says, is in goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What did I say a little earlier in that other thing? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's so amazing that how these, putting it in context, shows that our lives have to be set apart for God in usefulness that bring fruitfulness. Oh, it's so good. So good. We have to then, it says, have no interaction, place, attachment to the fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose, resist, and reprove them, not in criticism or judgment, but in love. And I have seen so many times where people have oh, you know, he's just a this or he's just a that. And unfortunately, the love factor is not operational. It's pointing out critically and potentially damaging the person coming to God, that their life is not intact. But go into Galatians 5 as well. Now, this is interesting how Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5 have a similar parallel. And the context of the chapter says to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage. Notice the two parallels there. One is be aware of these things because no one's going to have any participation in the kingdom of God with those. And then it says here, just stand in your liberty and don't get wrapped up in yokes of bondage. Don't be caught up serving the law and walking in the flesh. And then he goes on and says this, a little further on, getting into works, a testifier becomes your debtor to keep the law. It talks about the law and getting caught up in rules, regulations, etc. You can't be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. Continue on. We through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness in faith. And it talks that those aspects of works produce nothing, but faith works through love. And I just really brought that out quickly in the sense that some people in that era were trying to bring the Old Testament law and its rituals back into the church. So, you've still got to keep the law of Moses and do this and do that and do the other to honor God. Those works are futile. And they bring futility into the church. You've been called to liberty. So don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Interesting. And that's whether you're getting caught up in the works of darkness or getting caught up in the works of that look like they're religious works. And it's a serving the flesh. Don't use it as an opportunity to give the flesh its own space. But through love, serve one another. Verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume one another. So the really interesting point that he brings out there, walking in the flesh is going to create division. It's going to create tensions. It's going to create problems and will end up being everything that the church is not meant to be. Walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's a battleground that's going to be constant there, but we need to ensure that the life of the Spirit is the overcoming factor and that the flesh is under control. The flesh is going to contrary, in verse 17, it will fight against the Spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to another, and so you will end up doing the things that you don't want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the rules of the law, which is fulfilled in the work of the flesh, obviously. Being aware of the acts of darkness is interesting too. The works of the flesh in verse 19 comes and covers all of the same things that were in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Just crazy. Galatians and Ephesians 5 both have a parallel there to ensure that the works of the flesh are kept at bay. And it talks of the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. And even some of the things like selfish ambitions can take over in the Christian church. Envious. And then there's the world that's going on with murders, drunkenness, etc. I'm telling you now, just as I told you before, those who practice such things cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, verse 22, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. Against such there's no law, and there are no ties or bondage to serve the flesh in any of them. But I want to point out something here that's rather interesting. He doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. Notice there's nine aspects there, but he only ever says fruit singularly. I never saw that before in that. I've always heard it preached, if you've got the fruit of love or the fruit of joy. No, there's one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit has a constant multiple outworking. Has a multiple outworking in love, in joy, in peace, in kindness, in long-suffering, in goodness, and in faith. That is so amazing. A lot of people say, I've developed my fruit of love, but I'm having a lot of trouble with the fruit of peace. No, they've got it wrong. You're having trouble with the fruit, permanent. Because the fruit, one, singularly, of the Spirit, has to develop and be expressed in the formats that I talked of. That's fruitfulness that shows from the life of the child of God. That's fruitfulness that we need to work on developing through our knowledge of God, through getting to know Him, to find out what pleases the Lord, as was expressed in the previous verses I read out. I think that's the most amazing understanding that we can come to say, okay, God, if I'm going to be imitators of God as dear children, or to walk as Jesus walked, or do the things Jesus did, there is an aspect of God that has to develop in my life that shows the fruit of the Spirit in all of these attributes. Now, you may not need the love tomorrow, you might need the peace, but it's there. You may not need the peace, you might need the joy the next day. You know, you walk, there's an aspect, and someone wants to you to rejoice with them. You got the fruit of joy there in that context of the whole package. It's all there. It's all there. No one goes on a picnic and puts just one thing in the picnic basket. I have got my fruit today. The basket's full of bananas, but nobody needs bananas that day. People want sandwiches or they want something else. And so what we've got to do is have our developed lives available for every given situation. And when men need encouragement, we've got everything that they need. When they need someone to pray with them, it's there. When they need in any form of whatever it is God has brought us into their life for, it's developed there as fruit with whatever manifestation is needed at the time. It's the one fruit with nine attributes in this instance. But it's there in all of that. It also talks about having a crucified life. Those in verse 24, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh, so the flesh doesn't have an opportunity to raise its ugly head and to show itself off. And it doesn't run from there. We live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit in verse 25. It's not a life of self-achievement. It's not a life that shows us being something, it's a life that portrays Jesus. Fruitful in every good work. I got pumped when I read all that and looked at that. And I looked at the self-achievement thing is really quite, it develops pride. I don't know if you remember the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, 10 to 14. The Pharisee gets up and says, "Lord, I thank you, I'm not like this beggar. I have this and I have done that and I'm so good." And he was on his all about himself and all about how good he was and just thanking God that I was such a wonderful guy. That's not what it's all about, you know? And the tax collector gets on his knees, said, "Lord, be merciful to me." Humbling himself before God. Tax collector probably could have said, "I got more money than this Pharisee. I've ripped everybody in the town off. Have a look at me." He could have actually had that form of pious pride, but he didn't. He came in repentant humility before God and just said, "God, I need you. I know, Lord, I'm a sinner." But he humbled himself before God to do that. So it wasn't his own life that was in the forefront. We don't need to become conceited, arrogant or proud in verse 26 of Galatians, where we were just then, which results in us provoking or envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit is functional. It's not just there for our own consumption. And I really believe that we need to work on that in all of our lives. There's a functionality in the fruit of the Spirit because love has an expression, joy has an expression, peace has an expression, long-suffering. They're all expressions of who we are in Christ. They're functional, and we need to ensure that the ignition's on and the life of the whole life of the Spirit is in operation of power. Faith works by love. And some people have got, you know, they think, "Oh, I've got so much faith, I can do anything." But faith, just being for faith's sake, can be a bit, you know, there's a lot of teachings around that faith is there for our own benefit. And it's not. It's faith works by love. And love is generally for one another or other people. It's something we need to look at. If we see faith working by love, our expressions will be from the fruit of the Spirit, based and motivated by love, bringing about the life of faith that we are going to operate in, walk in, and function in. I'm probably brushing over this a little bit, but I think you're getting the picture. That's the aspect that I believe God can work in that confirms his word with signs following. I'm really believing that if we want to see God back us up and the power of the Spirit poured out, or the power of God entering people's lives, there's a basis of the fruit of the Spirit that governs our life of fruitfulness. Does that make sense? And bringing about the work of God in a way that God can honor his word, and bless the person or bless the people or the situation that we're in, confirming his word with whatever signs are necessary following. I know signs following is part and parcel of the life of the Christian. And if we're going to use the name of Jesus, what has been given for power and authority, we have to be, I guess, fully surrendered to function in every good work, in fruitfulness. But the name of Jesus is too precious, too important to just use flippantly. It has to be used out of love, out of passion, out of fruitful lives that are totally surrendered to the life of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit functioning. If you look at the disciples, as they walked with Jesus, and nothing was really a problem to them, there was no challenges. They loved Jesus, they served Jesus, they followed Jesus. Everything Jesus did, they went with, they saw, and everything was honky-dory, everything was good. But when the going got tough, when Jesus gets arrested in the garden, when he gets taken away to be crucified, where were they? They were out of here, you know, and hung back. Even Peter hung back in the distance and denied him, as we know. So there was an aspect of the life hanging around Jesus that hadn't imparted into them, like we've sung about this morning and like we've heard about in the life of God being in us. But then Jesus reappeared to them after he died. What a difference, hey? Suddenly they have an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. Suddenly the risen Christ comes out and he says, all power and authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And they get all excited because Jesus is risen. Well, they think the kingdom's going to be established through this risen Christ. But he turns around and he says, yes, I've got the power and authority, now you go. It's all yours, the job's yours now. And he gave it to them, which hasn't changed. He's still giving it to us. He's still imparting that life for us to fulfill his mission of life on this planet. He's still got the church in his bow as its effective arrow to hit the mark in this world and to bring the life of God into it. The reality of the resurrection hits home with them. The reality then of Jesus leaving and empowering them by the Holy Spirit turns the tide completely around, changes their whole thinking, concept, and understanding of God. And this is why Paul wrote in his words that you would be filled with the knowledge of God, that you would be coming to know more of him, that you would have wisdom and understanding so that we could see where Jesus was functioning and working through the church and in our lives and the purpose that he's placed in us. It wasn't long after that they get filled with the Spirit, of course, and we know the story in Acts. And then they turn the world upside down. Thousands get saved regularly. But I love the scripture in Acts 4:10 where they begin to become functional outside of their normal daily work, where they went out and started doing the things that Jesus did. And in Acts 4, and we know what's the verses there, or 4:10 anyway, is where after the crippled man in verse chapter 3 gets healed, he's asking for alms, and they declare over him the word, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice it was a command. Notice it wasn't, Lord Jesus, please come and heal this little man. Come and heal this man. You've seen he's been crippled since birth, Lord. You've seen the traumas he's had to face, and his life's been devastated because of it. No, you please heal him, Lord. We got this begging God scenario in our prayers that I've heard over and over and over and over. And I think God must be sitting up there going, oh, no, that's a bit sacrilegious maybe, but I really think that's not what God's going to answer. He's going to honor faith by love. I got a passion for this guy. I've got to command the name of Jesus into his body for him to rise up. Look at me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not in a harsh command, but out of love, faith working through love. Rise up and walk. I don't think there was any noise. I don't think there was any real shouting and woos and carries on. They took him by the hand, lifted him. There's a corresponding action. Notice that there was activity involved as well as faith. And the guy gets up, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And then it creates a problem. And everybody's questioning how and why and whatever. And in chapter 4, verse 10, they're talking to the crowd there. And they turn and they say these very, very words. This same Jesus. They'd been giving a testimony of who Jesus was on this planet. Why he died, rose again, was raised up. This same Jesus, by him has this man been made whole and made whole before you, by his name and in his name, by him. And we've got to understand that if we're going to be his ambassadors in practice and in action, there's corresponding action to faith. We have to understand how Jesus would want us to work and honor him in all that it is by love and in the fruit of the Spirit, developing that fruitfulness in our lives to portray him in every possible way. This same Jesus, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. But they said that only a few years or not long after he'd risen from the dead. But today, now, in this era, can we say this same Jesus? Is that where our level of faith is? Is that what our passion is? To see this same Jesus function and operate in and through the commands that we place over people's lives that need healing, that need restoration or whatever, and see their lives change for the glory of God. I really believe that's where he's calling us into our fruitfulness in one area. That's just one aspect. It says we're to be fruitful in every good work. And good works are good. A lot of churches have got into them. But I don't think it's the full power and authority that we see in the book of Acts. I think sometimes we get caught up in the doings and the works that we're doing. We're doing in our own strength often. They had an encounter with the risen Christ. What's the depth of my encounter with him? I've got to ask myself, what is the level and depth of my encounter with the risen Christ? Will it cause me to set myself apart for him, like they had to go into the upper room and wait until they were endued with power? Will it cause me to set my life into a development mode where the fruit is functional in and through my life? I've got to admit, I got a way to go. There's some things that I'm a little short on, but I want the fruit fully functional in its total manifestation. Amen? I really do. I want to be the church, not just go to church. I want to be the church that Jesus wants us to be, in my life and corporately with everyone else. I want my life to be a life of functionality for the kingdom of God, not just by name, but by action, corresponding action, doing what the things of the Spirit and the direction of the Spirit, and not just a functionality in a program or in a church work sort of scenario or whatever we want to put together. There's programs everywhere. But in reality, that really develops and brings up the kingdom. I've been involved in so many church programs in my life, man. And some of them, you end up just working your butt off. And I find they bring frustration and they bring futility and they bring negativity around. And they often don't last. You know, you think you're going to do things. And then to make them last forever, you got to work your butt off, you know, constantly to make it happen and keep it happening. And I think some of them might work well. You know, there's a great food bank going on here in Gisborne that has ministered to the lives of men and women in Gisborne and families. And it's a great program, but I don't see the kingdom being ministered through it. It's become a little secular. And I don't mind supporting it, and it's good. But it's interesting, I was in Foodworks this week, and probably a young lady, I don't know, she was could have been 20s. And obviously physically challenged or mentally challenged, one or the other. And she had a carer with her. Now the carer is trying to get her to do her shopping. And they get to the register and she's counting out her money of her purse and struggling with it and all the coins coming out. And she's 30 cents short and could not understand or comprehend what was missing because all of her money was on the counter. Everything was there. And she wanted her shopping. And the carer, for some reason, didn't have a red cent on her or a cracker on her. And I'm like, you know, look, how much short are you? I said, look, don't worry about it. We'll pay the bill. Well, Foodworks turned around and said, no, you can't do that. We're not allowed to let you do that. I said, why not? I said, of course you're allowed to let me do that. I'll give her the cash then. She can pay it with my cash. And, you know, we just don't let people do that because it could create situations that are, you know, unhealthy. And I'm like, okay, what if I said that I was representing the FaithWorks Church here and I have the authority of the church to spend money to help people? Would that make a difference? Oh, FaithWorks, they support the food bank. We've been there. Oh, and there's all of this sudden, there's this total different change. And I'm like, they would not let me work on my own in any way, shape or form. You know, to just for a 30 cent difference. The bill was $10.70. She had $10.40. And I'm crying inside. So anyway, the carer and the girl walked away and I walked over to the afterwards. I said, look, I know it wasn't much today and I didn't get to where I wanted to be with you guys, but can we help you anymore? Can we do something for you? Now, Mash, be careful. They could be knocking on the door. I said, if you need anything at all, will you please go and knock on the side door during the week? Hopefully my son-in-law's there and hears you. But I said, other than that, their phone number, give me a call. I said, I want to see what we can do for you. Now, I didn't want to tell them too much there and then. I'm in the foyer of Foodworks. But I figured I've got to take an opportunity for God to be able to minister to the lives of someone. I couldn't believe they knocked me back. No, you can't do that. Huh? Will you give me a break? I've been in cafes where God's told me to pay someone's bill. So I've gone up to the counter and said, see that guy over there, sitting that family at that table, whatever it might be. Can I pay their account, please? Huh? I said, I just want to pay their bill. Can you let them know that their bill's been paid and it's all taken care of? Whoa. And you do it because God says to. Now, in those instances, they had no idea who or why I was, but I want to make sure that people know who and why and what I'm doing is for the glory of God. And it's for His kingdom. Now, it was interesting that the whole concept changed once I said, well, what if I'm representing FaithWorks Church and I have the authority to do this and use the funds of the church? We have funds to minister to people. Oh, we didn't realize. In the meantime, they decided to flag the 30 cents somehow through a system they got there. But we've got to be a little bit more, got encountering these difficulties. You know, we've got to find solutions in God to be able to continue on. And I'm trusting and believing that they will take up the offer to come and do something through the church. I want it to be a life of not sterility and futility through a program, but let's just take the church to a point where its functionality in the Spirit of God works in and through each one of our lives. Whether we're ministering to one person or a group of people or a family or a neighbor, whatever it may be, we've got to see that we are fruitful in every good work. And it all comes from this, having an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus, knowing Him, knowing what pleases Him, knowing that our lives are in Him, and everything that is in Him and what He has made us to be in Him will generate our life of functionality and confidence for His glory. Last week we sung a song. I don't know whether we do it now or not. We might do it next week again. What was it called in Jesus? I Speak Jesus. You know that song? You heard that song, I Speak Jesus? I declare His name. Whew! And last week when we sung it, it had an effect and an empowerment. And I really believe that if we start to learn to speak Jesus, we start to learn to walk in that love, walk in that faithfulness, walk in that fruitfulness, and see the fruit developed in our lives. God's going to bring situations along that He wants us to be fruitful in. Are we ready? Like Paul said, we've heard of your goodness, we've heard of this, we've heard of that, and we cease not to make mention you in our prayer that you will be fruitful in every good work. Now, Paul wanted the church to be prepared. We, the church, need to want to be prepared. We do. We do. And I think we've had opportunities, and I know I have, and I'm sure you've all had them, where the fruitfulness hasn't been as effective as we'd like it to be. Or we don't get the opportunity, or we skimp out, or we chicken out, or something like that. I've determined that my fruitfulness for God will start to ebb at a greater level than it ever has before. I've seen the failures, I've seen the shortcomings, I've seen the missing the marks. But what I want now is manifested fruitfulness. Amen? Father, I pray that all of us here and those that are listening by podcast, Lord God, I reach out to them in faith now and I declare the name of Jesus over each and every life and every situation. Father, I declare the fruit of the Spirit being developed and growth in their lives in every area to see the functionality of the Spirit of God flowing in and through your people as you would have determined, Lord God, right at the very outset, and that now and in this day and in this era, that same functionality of your people in the fruit of the Spirit being manifested becomes a reality in every life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for every heart, that our hearts will be a heart that you would have, just as Jesus did, a heart of compassion, a heart that reaches out, a heart that sees the need, and a heart that has the capacity to meet that need. And I pray for it and believe it in the name of Jesus, that the church in this region will be a church that is fruitful in every good work for the extension and for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whether you're here or whether you're on the podcast or what you've listened, however you hear this message, take it to heart to allow God to bring our lives to be fully fruitful for Him. Amen. Wednesday night, we're still on air at 7:45. And that's been, as this week has been an incredible time. And as Kerry just mentioned earlier, looking forward to continuing it and going on. It's been one of the best discipleship studies I've heard and seen for a while, and it's just been really, really good to go through and challenge ourselves with it. So outside of that, have I missed anything else, Kerry? Nothing at this stage until next week, so we're looking forward to catching you then. And pray for those that are, let's do it together now, come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that we can declare here, even though the people are far away, we believe in the power of prayer and the power of your Spirit. Lord, we bring Carol before your throne of grace. We bring Emma before your throne of grace. We bring all others, Lord God, that are suffering at this time and that are potentially locked up for 3 or 4 days, Father, because of the regulations of this land concerning COVID. Father, we declare healing over their lives and bodies in the name of Jesus. We declare that this disease leave them now. They be fully made whole, healed, set apart, and sanctified for your use and for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. We thank you for Winnica being restored and made fully whole and healthy due to a heart operation. And now, Lord God, we see your power working in her life, bringing her back to full functionality for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we declare fruitfulness in every one of their lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.